bless your name this morning. I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name.
Lord, we are thankful to be able to enter your presence this morning, to worship you, to lift you up, to bring everything that is going on around us into focus, because you are over everything that is going on around us and that is going on in our lives. You're faithful in the midst of anything that comes our way. You know all of our fears. You know all of our concerns. And we know that you come through for us. Lord, help us in this time to recenter, to look, to wait, even when it seems like a wilderness, even when it seems hard and rough. Lord, let us dare to put you first and to approach challenges differently than we might otherwise do. Sometimes, Lord, we are wanting to escape. Sometimes we're rebellious. And yet, no matter what is going on around us, you use things in our lives to wake us up, to get our attention, and to help us if we'll listen. So we really can't be shaken, because you are one who is sure and one who is steadfast. And your Holy Spirit empowers us and gives us strength to go on each and every day. Jesus, you have come to live in our lives. You've come to live in our hearts through faith. And we want to continue to trust in your provision for us in the coming days. Lord, as we look at the world around us, we see some really awful things. And yet you there are there as our steadfast hope. And we experience your love through so many different ways, through your word, through knowing truth, through interaction with others who believe in you. Lord, even to reaching out to those who don't right now. Lord, enable all these things to work together in your power and in your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome everyone today and those who are online. In fact, if you want, why don't you wave to those who are here today and just give a little hi. And if you're at home, just wave to your family or whoever's with you. We're really glad you're here with us this morning at SQIM Community Church. My name is Rick Dietzman. I am the associate pastor here. You haven't seen me in a while if you've been at home. If you've been at church, you might have seen me running around doing things. I'm doing a lot of the behind-the-scenes work for small groups and other ministries of the church. And this is a great Sunday for me to be able to speak and share the word and share some things that have been on my heart and my mind. Scott, our senior pastor, has been preaching every Sunday this year. That's very unusual. And the reason he did it, in fact, he canceled his vacation this summer, was he wanted to be here to bring stability in the midst of all that's going on. And so we really should be thankful for him. He really has stood it out. He's taken a little break with Claire this week and getting out of town. And I'm really glad they'll be back next week. Actually, his birthday is September 5th, so if you want to thank him in a special way, please do that too. But he has really been an encouragement to our staff and to everything that is going on here. So it's my privilege to be able to take some time today and be part of just to this morning and what's happening. I yesterday had a meeting with our small group facilitators. We were all there over in the other building with our masks on and talking about all of the changes that have happened this year and how we're trying to adjust to the new things that are going on. And I want to give you a couple of things that are coming up. In fact, it's been summer. Many of us have been in small groups. We were involved in a ministry called Rooted at the beginning of the year, which really helped us get solid and keep our groups going. And we soldiered through the entire COVID crisis. We kept going just online and on Zoom and all kinds of things. And then summer was a nice little break for some of us, maybe a little more social, maybe getting out, maybe doing some walks. And now it's time for fall. And we thought, what is fall going to look like? Fall is going to be exciting. Fall is going to have even more things than we normally have, if you can believe that. In the midst of a pandemic, we're adding ministries to our church this fall. We're going to restart a lot of the things we did before, and we're going to do them hybrid. We're going to do them with people in person. We're going to do them on Zoom. We've gone through so much creativity to pull these things off. And if you're online and if you're here too and you wonder, how do I find out about all this? One of the adjustments we've had to make in the midst of this whole time is we don't have bulletins anymore. You know, we don't have paper to hand out everywhere. So if you're not getting our Friday email, this is a good time to reconcile that, to call the church office or to email office@squimcommunitychurch.org and get on that email, because that gives information, especially now, about what's happening. The website is also a great place to go to find out how to sign up for various kinds of groups. And this year, like I did last year, next Sunday at 10:15 and 11:15 in the adult portable, I'm going to have a small group question and answer time for people that want to find out about all the kinds of things they can get involved with, because everything is starting mid-September. September 13th is our kickoff Sunday, and that the week after there's thing, ministry, group after group starting, small group starting. And so if you want to find out about that, next Sunday is the time to do that at 10:15 and 11:15. And for those online, watching online, I'm going to do the same thing at 1 o'clock on a Zoom call next Sunday. And to get on that, all you need to do is email me or contact the church office, and I'll send you the link to that. So I want everybody to stay in the loop about what we're doing for next week. A couple of things that are really neat is the women's ministry is launching Heart to Heart. And I'm going to show a short video about what our series is going to be for Heart to Heart, and then I'll tell you a little bit more about it.
When life is uncertain, questions come and go, I'll not be moved by how I feel, but trust in what I know. There is a God in heaven, and I am in His plan. He will forsake me never. My life is in His hands. His boundless love will lead me as long as time endures. Oh, this I know. This I know for sure.
Do you long to know God more intimately? Do you sometimes struggle with questions and doubts? Do you ever find yourself worrying rather than standing firm on what you know to be true? We've all been there, haven't we? Although we don't have all the answers, there are some things we can know for sure, even in the most uncertain and unsettling times. This I Know for Sure invites you to believe God, choosing to trust God and His promises, regardless of your circumstances. Join me as we learn to walk with God, even when we're not sure of our next step. My friends, let's make up our minds and decide once and for all to stand on the unshakable truths of God's Word.
Great. All right, September 15th is the kickoff. And as well, Chase is going to be starting on Friday mornings. And we're also going to launch a men's group again. Last year we started a group called Seven Questions. We're going to be starting that as well on Saturday morning. So there's all kinds of great offerings for men and women this year, as well as many other things. Now, one of the areas that we have been highlighting over the summer have been some of our ministries that we support as a church. The giving that comes to this church, 11% goes to something that has nothing to do with our bottom line. It goes to missions, it goes to local outreach. And I want to show you a video from our director of Young Life in the Peninsula, Olympic Peninsula. His name's Chris Cummings, and he's going to share a story with you about how lives are being changed through Young Life.
Hello, Squim Community Church. My name is Chris Cummings. I'm the area director for Young Life here on the Olympic Peninsula. And I just first want to say thank you for supporting Young Life and kids getting to hear about Jesus all across the Olympic Peninsula. We have Young Life leaders all over the peninsula that know hundreds of kids by name. They pray for them regularly. And even though this year, due to COVID-19, it's been a hard year and we haven't been able to take kids to camp, but I would love to share with you one of our kids' stories. His name's Alex. We took him to camp last year, and I would love for you to hear what camp meant to him, and especially the impact it made in his life coming home. Check this out. This is my friend, Alex.
It completely reopened that relationship between me and God, and it was definitely the closest that I'd felt to him in a very, very long time. With my faith, trying to work on how to trust him through and him guide me through the things that I'm dealing with now instead of just stressing about it and letting, you know, depression back in or anything like that. The other thing that I got out of camp that helped me a lot is more relationships with more people that I can talk to about it when I'm confused or lost, because I didn't have anyone that I saw, you know, regularly to help me with that.
Alex's story is just one of many stories of kids all over the peninsula that have had their lives changed all because of Jesus. Thank you so much for supporting Young Life. God bless.
All right. I'm going to have Christy Paris come on up. She's going to read our scripture today. You don't need that. You can come on up. Christy is our elder for Congregational Life. Yes, and she's looking forward to bringing more food to the table when we can do that. For now, we've got to wait.
Yeah, my job right now is a little easy, unfortunately. Good morning, church. This morning, I will be reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 1 through 5, and chapter 43, verses 18 through 19. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland.
Well, COVID-19 has really thrown us a loop, hasn't it? But you know what? God is able to do amazing things with every single circumstance. And I wanted today to have us hopefully go away with one thought, with one picture of what God can do. And so I've titled the message today, A Way in the Wilderness. It's a theme that is found throughout the Bible, where God's people end up in an uncomfortable situation, in a desert, 40 years in the desert, Moses, others, and somehow, in some way, God solves it, and he creates a solution, a creative solution that no one saw before. I think more than anything else right now, we need to be attuned to how to identify and perceive when God is at work, even when it looks like everything is hopeless or very difficult. Because the promise has been throughout Scripture that God transforms hard things. And today's scriptures illustrate that. So what I wanted to do was take a passage and look for a few principles that we could apply to how God works in the wilderness and makes a way. The first thing that really stood out to me when I picked the passage this morning from Isaiah 40 was that when God's people are stressed, He promises comfort. The verse in Isaiah 40 says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." And the context of this passage is that Jerusalem has been sacked and the people have been deported to Babylon by a new world power. They've had a national crisis, and the first encouragement to them is that God wants to comfort them in their pain. Now, we know we all find comfort in different ways, and I've been trying to study how people cope with those kinds of issues. One of the things that's been done as a recent survey by the Pew Research Organization, they did it about 2 weeks ago, and primarily the survey was about church attendance, actually. How people's worship habits have changed. They found that about 33% of people, when the church is open, like ours, come back, and about 66% are watching it online. And that's one of the really interesting statistics for us as we're trying to figure out how to do ministry in the coming months, is we have a large group that are engaged but aren't here. How do we do that? Well, one of the other things that they asked, and I was really trying to sort out this, was how do people deal with this sense of isolation or dealing with not being back within their normal activities as much, although they might be a little bit more. Maybe they're wearing masks and doing it. What are they doing to cope with that? And so here's some of the statistics from a comparison of how Protestants and then the population as a whole are dealing with life right now. 89%, everybody is watching TV and movies. That's how they're coping. Time outdoors, everybody's doing that. And connecting with friends and family weekly, that's another one, 70%. Everybody's doing that. But in general, Christians are spending more time in prayer and they're spending more time reading Scripture than the general population. But these are the top six, quote, like, you know, Family Feud, top six answers on the board. How are people coping during the crisis? Okay? Finding different ways. What I found interesting about the survey was they didn't ask about small group engagement. They didn't ask how people were actually doing Scripture. Were they just doing it on their own? Were they doing it with friends? How were they praying? What were they doing to engage with friends and family? Was it online? You know, different things like that. Because when I studied the crisis at the early time back in late April and May, there was something very, very important that was expressed by numerous people that were consulting what to do in this pandemic. They said there's three things that are the most important for health, for mental and emotional health. One is connection with others. Two is routine. And three is intentionality. And you need to build all that into what you do. What I realized right away was that small groups provide all of that intentionally every single week, and they also involve friends and family, prayer, and Scripture. They do that intentionally every week. I want to say that to those of us who have still not gotten back into that rhythm of life yet. Now, some of us were involved in small groups or the things that we offered from the beginning and kept going, and you know that it helped, because I hear responses back from people saying, well, thank you for not quitting, not canceling, just doing it another way. But those who decided not to decided to wait. And what I would like to say to you right now as we hit fall, we've been in this a long time, the time of waiting is over. Are you ready to engage? Because it's very, very important, I think, in the next 3 to 4 months that more of us connect And we're going to work really, really hard at church to provide lots of opportunities to do that. We want to have our normal Bible studies and small groups. We want to have check-in connects, maybe where someone calls you every couple of weeks, if you'd like, and just to touch base and to pray. We're going to offer some short-term topics on Wednesday nights on Zoom. It worked really well with Alpha this year. We had people there 15 weeks in a row coming in on Zoom to do Alpha and didn't want to stop even. So I was going to go 10, and then everybody wanted to keep going. And we're going to do another Wednesday night online course, a short-term one in September. We're going to keep Wednesday nights kind of our Wednesday night, but we're going to do it on Zoom. Because we need God's comfort. And we need comfort from each other, and we need to cope. So this is just a little plug again. It's nice, you can do the announcements, then you can do the message and do both at the same time. You know, it's kind of nice when you're a preacher. I just want to encourage you as a practical thing, engage this fall. There are hundreds of people that have been in small groups. There are probably about 300 of our church have been, at least that many, are been engaged in some kind of small groups, even online through the whole time. But there's another couple hundred that aren't. And I want to encourage you who aren't to say, I don't care if you're at home, but you can engage because we're going to find creative ways to do that. Now, what was the thing that was the comfort that God brought? What was the primary comfort? It says in Isaiah 40, verse 2, it was assurance in our hearts that our hard service, and in fact, the literal word is warfare, was completed. Our sin is paid for, and justice is done, because they were disciplined by God twice over for their sins. The justice was done. Everything was paid for. They were fine with God because of what he had done. What that teaches me and tells me is that God uses the tough, unsettling times to do deep things in us that bring things up. It brings up sin. It brings up the hard service, the pain of the past. And he uses these things to bring those to our attention. And yet, a lot of us just cope with Netflix. A lot of us cope with exercise. We cope with eating. But there's other ways that God actually goes in and meets those needs. And those ways are connecting to people regularly, praying, and God's word. That's true. When you do that and systematically and intentionally, the Lord will use the unsettling things to change us. It says in Isaiah 30, 18, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He doesn't want us to sit in that forever. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. So there's a waiting involved as well, even though things aren't solved, but God uses it. And the good news is found in the wilderness because Jesus provides and he guides there. The Isaiah passage was quoted in Mark chapter 1. And I want to frame this for you to give you a picture of how the gospel opened. It opened in the wilderness. It was the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, Mark 1:1. And right then it quotes Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And then John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Like I just said, God uses the wilderness to bring up the things in our lives that he wants to address. And I want you to picture the scene at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. Here are people coming out of their comfort zone, convicted of something, and going into the wilderness to find relief, to find an answer. And here's this prophet teaching them to repent from their sins and receive grace and forgiveness. It's exactly the same thing that was said in Isaiah 40. They were desperate for something. And they were literally going to a river in the desert for cleansing, for relief, and for new life. That's the picture of how the Gospels open and what Jesus completed. So our first lesson. God is going to smooth out our edges in the tough times. Don't get distracted from it. Don't run from it. Don't medicate it. Embrace the process. And here's what Jesus does to complete it. And this is from Isaiah 40. This is a prophecy about Jesus. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So the second lesson from this is about Jesus. He is coming with a new and life-giving way in the desert. Now, I've had a lot going on, of course, at church over the last several months, but also in our personal life at home. We've had a lot of adjusting to do in our own family. We've had budgeting things we've had to do. We've had our kids all have to go to school online. In a week, everybody's starting, got their own little areas of the house. We've had to adjust all kinds of things. And we have literally had some unanswered, sticky questions that have not been solved for months and months and months. I felt in a lot of ways, not only just, you know, the church was a little bit of a desert, but home has been a desert, in a sense, for a while for our family. And I remember as I was thinking about this whole, you know, principle that we're dealing with, I needed to have faith. I needed to wait. And thankfully, you know, it's nice when you're actually getting ready to deliver a talk. The Lord answered some of the very specific prayers about 3 or 4 days ago. It took that long. I mean, I'm literally waiting all summer for some of these logistical things to be solved. And I realized the Lord used this time to really round off some rough edges in my life, some frustrations, some blind spots. You know, I've had more, you know, I think people, we find this when we're at home with our relatives, there's a little more friction sometimes. That's happened. You know, but the Lord wanted to do that, and he also wanted to say, you need to wait, and I'm not going to show you for a while what the answer is going to be. And that's what he does. He surprises us with things when we wait. And we have to do that. It's not going to necessarily be a kick, you know, an easy thing to do. But I tell you, his glory is best revealed in the desert. You can see it after you've been in a desert. And I want to illustrate this by a trip I took 25 years ago. It was to Israel. And I went to a tour of Israel, but one of the things that stood out to me the most, one of my fondest memories, was in southern Israel in the area where Masada is. Some of us have seen the movie Masada. It's a place where they went up after, during the revolt. I'll just show the slide there. But it's a very desolate area, very dry area. And in the vicinity of Masada is the Dead Sea. So here I am in the Dead Sea. Okay, now Dead Sea is full of all kinds of salt, and you can float. It's really fun. You know, a lot of people, once you get down there, they all float in the Dead Sea. And me at 20 years old, here I am, you know, whatever, 25 years old, floating in the Dead Sea. But in the same vicinity of the area, there's also an area, a nature preserve called En Gedi. And if you look here in the area, there's literally Bedouin tribes. Again, it's very dry and desolate. It's a place that's mentioned in the Bible, and it's a place where Saul was pursuing David. And there's a verse in 1 Samuel. After King Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David is in the desert of En Gedi. Now, En Gedi means the young goats, right? So in this scripture passage, right, in 1 Samuel 24, Saul took 1,000 young men from Israel and went out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats, you know, in this area of En Gedi. And he came to a cave. And then, if you know the story, David was hiding out in the cave with his men. Saul went in there to, you know, do some work. And at that moment, David decided not to kill him. He decided to wait on God. So this is all that was going on in that place. So they said, we're going to go walk and go hike over to see Engedi. And I thought, well, that'll be fun. Is this a normal thing to do? Nope, it's a special trip. There's no bus that goes there. It's a dirt road. You're going to go to Engedi. And I had no idea what Engedi was going to look like. I mean, I thought we're going to go to a cave. I didn't know what we're going to go see. Okay? So we start walking on this trail, this hike, which I love to hike. My wife and I hike all the time. And all of a sudden, I see this. Green. And it has been so dry. There has been just nothing but desert everywhere around. And the Dead Sea is dead, right? And all of a sudden, I see this green. And I'm thinking, wow, what is this going to turn into? And so at the very end of the road, this is what we found. That. And that's me in the waterfall, okay? Amazing. I mean, the glory of God is best revealed in the desert. I mean, I've been on lots of hikes. I've seen lots of waterfalls. But I have never had that kind of environment before I got to it. And it stood out to me, became one of my favorite memories from that trip. I went on all the little places with the little hats and the tour buses, and I still thought Engedi was the coolest thing I saw in Israel. Partially because it was a place hardly anybody went, and it was so special. God wants to give us those things as well in our deserts. He wants us to watch and wait for the new thing he is doing. The passage that I have been holding on to for weeks is Isaiah 43:19. I suggest you type it up. If you're having a rough time, type it up, put it on your computer, put it on your mirror, make it look pretty if you have a Bible app or something. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. There is so much in this verse. There is so much about how God will take limitations and do something new with them. Give us a perception of a new thing. I remember when I came to Sequim in 2007, one of the areas that really bothered me the most was that people in Sequim would go into full retirement where they couldn't come to church anymore. And they would become homebound, sick, and very, very few people would visit them, or they would very rarely make it to church. And in 2010, I was convinced that I could use one of my spiritual gifts for video to create the video ministry of this church. And we started making DVDs, making groups in some of the retirement homes. We started putting it online. And this is before anybody had internet. This is where we were just doing what we could with what people had. Nobody knew what an iPad was. You can imagine. Well, that ministry with COVID has expanded beyond belief. And it has been my privilege. In fact, I have a good friend named Joe who is in hospice right now. And every day he's just waiting, like, hey, is it time to go? 2 years ago, he dropped out of our men's Bible study, which went on Saturday morning, because he couldn't come because he was immune compromised. He had long before COVID. He couldn't come. But the day we got on Zoom, he joined. And he's been with us almost every week since then on our Saturday morning Zoom call. That would not have happened without COVID. That's a new thing. It's a powerful thing. And we can be thankful for things like that. Our church will never be the same. There will be Zoom Bible studies 10 years from now, and no one will remember that it came out of COVID. They won't even know where it started from. It'll just be normal. But people will go to the day of their death interfacing and connecting with this church online and by Bible studies because of this crisis. That's just one example of what God can do in the midst of a new development. He's working. He's transforming us. I want to point out one thing before I finish my final thought, is that we have a Bible study app each week We put it on the downloads page. We have a page on our website under Growing called Bible App. And there are people that do devotions about the Sunday message every single week together. We have 20 people that will do it this week. We've had a really consistent group that do it through the church. There's also small groups that do it. And this week's lesson is called The Desert Transformed. And I encourage you, if you've never done the Bible app before, there's another way to study the Word, to pray, to be blessed, to work with the theme of what is happening on Sunday. Because one of the things that is really true about preaching that is depressing for a pastor is that 90% of it is forgotten within a couple of hours unless it's reviewed. And so by doing something like the Bible app or by doing the fall series where you are reviewing the message with other people, you will remember all that is said on Sunday morning. So I want to point that out to you. I want to encourage you to look into that. Final thoughts here. Isaiah 30. He will be gracious if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. And you will see your teacher with your own eyes. Your own ears will hear him, and right behind you, you will hear a voice that will say, "This is the way you should go." Is that your experience of God? That is a very encouraging promise. It's not saying that life is easy. You see that? It's saying he may give you adversity for food and suffering for drink. But in spite of that, he will be with you to teach you. You will see him and you will hear him and he will lead you. This is true Christianity. This is something that is unchangeable. This is something that happens when you wait in the desert and God answers and provides something you didn't see before. His glory is revealed in something you had never anticipated. You might have looked for a cave and you got an oasis. Wow. He does it. And Jesus is there saying a same kind of thing on the eve of his crucifixion. Here's Thomas. "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus is going to be killed the next day. And Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you will know my Father as well. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Because they had talked to Jesus, they had seen Jesus, and Jesus showed the way to the Father. It's that simple. We don't have to be that complicated. In fact, in our problems, we don't have to solve them ourselves. All we need to do is wait on God, seek him, and embrace the adversity for what it has to teach us. Probably once you learn your lesson, he will provide a solution. And even if it's in adversity, and even if it's in pain, he will be with you. Jesus will be with you. There won't be a new normal. The old is gone. But you can walk in the new and the new life-giving way he provides. My prayer is that a way in the wilderness is seared into your mind at least for a day, maybe for a few days, maybe for a month, maybe in the next crisis. You'll know, I know it's hard, but Jesus promised he would speak to me and lead me and show me something new in this desert, and I'm going to trust him for that. Let's do that, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your promise of a way in the wilderness. There are so many Bible stories that illustrate that. There are so many things in our own lives that illustrate that, that we do not need to fear evil, and we are to seek your comfort and seek your encouragement. Lord, cleanse us from our sins so that we can see what you're doing. Take off our rough edges. Teach us about what's important to you. draw us into relationship with others, and so that we can pray together and so that we can study the word together. Help us not to sit on the sidelines and to mope or to fear or to worry, because you've given us yourself, you've given us your church, and we can withstand anything because you're there with us and you lead and you guide us. Lord, take us, move us, and guide us. And we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Never stop. Thank you for being the one who takes us through everything difficult. You are faithful, you are loving, you are good. We look to you in hope today, God. Thank you for making a way in the wilderness. We love you, Lord. We bless your name today. Continue to encourage your church. Draw us close to you. Help us live by faith, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.